Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and I give you all the praise and all the glory. And as always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And we ask, Lord, that you cause that light to shine into our hearts today to give us understanding of what the Spirit is enabling us by your word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Give you all the glory and praise. Amen and amen. Today, pulling down strongholds and casting down imaginations. Just a brief message for us today to strengthen us in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Of course, I'm sure that we are familiar with that text, and I want to read it to us today. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to read from verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Praise the Lord. So in that short text, we see a lot of things, the posture that we should take as soldiers of Jesus Christ, you know, to know, number one, we're not, you know, wrestling with flesh and blood, and we're not, our battle and our warring is not after the flesh, but we're warring in the spiritual realms. And we have weapons that are not for, the arm of flesh. They're not carnal. We have mighty weapons that are able to pull down strongholds. We'll talk about some of these strongholds today and the places where Satan has lodged himself illegally. And where we need to cast him down from. There's also imaginations. So all kinds of imaginations. The devil, scripture says, why do the people imagine a vain thing against the Lord and his anointed? Well, the devil has imagined a lot of things against us as well. And the imaginations of the hearts of men are continually evil. Not like God's imaginations towards us. But nevertheless, God has given us power to conduct our warfare in the spiritual realm to the intent that we may always have the victory through Christ. Praise the Lord. So, there's also here, he talks about obedience and disobedience. Well, we ourselves must be in a readiness, he says, to avenge all disobedience. Well, the tool for that, or the weapon for that, is your own obedience, he says. So we got to be obedient before we can deal with other disobedience. We got to be walking in the light before we can deal with darkness, and so on and so forth. So we'll get into that a little bit today, and we'll see, you know, what the Lord has for us. You know, I may, come back and do a couple more lessons to follow up on this, because today will be short. You know, so, but let's see what the Lord will have to tell us here. Praise the Lord. You know, there are many things that we deal with in our lives. That Satan and his cohorts, they have many ways that they can attack our peace. You know, they come to steal, Jesus said, come to kill, and come to destroy. And but Jesus said, I have come that you may have life, and that more abundantly. So we're going to talk about the things and the ways in which the devil tries, you know, to ruin our joy and ruin our peace and steal everything we have and that God has given us. But we need to be aware also of the victory that the Lord has already given us, even in Christ Jesus. So that's what today's lesson is going to be about. And, we start to look at what Jesus says concerning how to really pull down strongholds and how to really cast down imaginations. There are certain things that we must do. We're going to see how Jesus explained it. We're going to see how even the Lord told people in the Old Testament. It's the same principle carries all the way through. Here's how Jesus explained it in Mark chapter 3 and verse 27. No man, Jesus says, can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods. You can't do it except you first bind that strong man. So you got to disarm him, basically. You know, you got to first bind the strong man, and then you can spoil his house. You know, so what does that mean? Well, as long as the strong man is loose and has his strength, you know, he's going to put up resistance. Well, so what you must do, Jesus said, is first you bind that strong man. Hallelujah. And then when you have bound him, then you can spoil his goods. Praise the Lord. You know, now let me read also to you in the book of Luke chapter 11 and verse 21. When a strong man armed, in other words, an armed strong man, is already strong in his own strength, but now he also has other ammunitions, so he's armed. When he keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, well, what happens then? He taketh away from him all his armor, which he trusted, and then divided his spoils. So basically, spoiling the spoiler. Hallelujah. But, you know, there is a way that that's going to happen. He's going to put up a fight. So the key thing is, you got to be stronger than he. You know, got to be stronger than him. So when you're stronger, that's why the Bible keeps telling us, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And don't be a pushover for the devil. John even wrote to say, you young men, I write to you because you are strong. You have overcome the devil. You know, don't think of yourself in a position of weakness. Now, except you don't have the Lord and you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, then you are in a position of weakness. But when you have the Lord, you know, then you got to be in a position of strength. Finally, my brethren, he says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's the same thing. We're not fighting in the flesh. You know, some people are always thinking that somebody is doing this to me, that person is doing that to you, this and this and this, and you are focused in the wrong, you're looking in the wrong places. You know, your fight is not with flesh and blood. Even when people are doing things to hurt you, there is an enemy behind them that's pushing them to do that. Yeah, got to recognize who our real enemy is. And we got to know how to take him down. Praise the Lord. So here are some of the things that we wrestle against. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against principalities, wrestling against powers, and against rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, if you don't think that there are powers of darkness, think again. The scripture acknowledges that there are powers, there are even principalities. They sit in lofty places, you know, and cause destruction. You know, they are spiritual wickedness and cause all kinds of problems. You know, people are driving down the road. All of a sudden, they get a tire blowout and they crash and multiple collisions, car collisions. Those are spiritual wickedness trying to take out lives. You know, it's all kinds of things. You know, so the difference though is that when we have the power of the Lord with us, you know, even though the devil has his own power, you know, we have a greater power. Jesus said it himself, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy. So the devil has power. Jesus acknowledges that, but you have greater power. You know, so don't think the devil doesn't have any power. But we have greater power, you know, than the devil. Because Jesus gave us power over all the power of the enemy. So we'll be talking about, you know, how to use these weapons to pull down strongholds and to cast down imaginations. That's what we're going to be doing. And we'll be talking about also explaining some of these weapons. Be talking about also explaining some of the strongholds and the imaginations that we need to fight and that we got to take down. Praise God. Now, we are in a fight, ladies and gentlemen. This is not playground. The life that we live is not playground. We are soldiers. Paul said to Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you must endure that hardness. Hallelujah. You know, so we're not to just, you know, be thinking that this is, you know, a playground or not, you know, or just, you know, you can't fight the devil with the arm of flesh. You need to have the right weapons for the warfare at hand. And so, you know, some of those things we've been talking about on this platform for a while, you know, our faith is a powerful weapon. You know, the blood of the Lamb is a powerful weapon. The word of your testimony is a powerful weapon. Talk about some of these things. Talk about the things that Paul talked about in Ephesians chapter 6. You know, how you clad yourself with the right kind of armor. Revelation 11 and 12 talks about other kinds of weapons that we have. The blood of Jesus, how to use that. And talk about that. The word of your testimony, how to use that. Talk about that. We've talked about these things before, but we'll bring them all together in this lesson. You know, so, and then remember, going into the fight, you have an advantage. See, this is the thing that we want to particularly bring out in this lessons. Because sometimes we think that, you know, we don't have the power, or we don't have the strength, or that the devil is, you know, greater. No, he's not. You know, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Hallelujah. You know, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. You know, and who is that person that overcomes the world? But he that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God. You know, this is the one that has and can overcome. Praise the Lord. You know, so we have the power with us, and we must know how to use it properly. Now, there are some, you know, devious things. There are some other small foxes that spoil the vine. There are some big things that are easy to see. Some things you have to put on the microscope before you can see them. Same thing in spiritual fight. Some things, you know, it's only, maybe they won't be seen by physical eyes. You got to do an MRI. You got to do, you know, a PET scan. You got to do all these things before you can see what's really going on there. Well, we're going to have to put on our spiritual discernment as well in order for us to see some of these things. But rest assured that, you know, the one that is in you, the scripture says, is greater than the one that is in the world. 1 John chapter 4, you know, and verse 4. Little children, he says, you know, and he's trying to give us encouragement. You know that, well, we know that in the world there are all kinds of things. But he said, ye are of God, little children, and ye have overcome the world. Overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you, you know, than he that is in the world. Well, the devil and his cohorts are in the world trying to throw the world into complete darkness. Because he rules the darkness. He does not enjoy the light. But Jesus said that when men's works are good, they like to come to the light. But when their works are evil, they like to hide in the dark. The devil, because his works are evil, he likes the dark. And there is the dark world, people say. You know, and but you see, in the beginning, God tells us there is a differentiation between the light and the darkness. God did that from the beginning. He separated the light from the darkness. And even he made two great lights, we're told. One, the greater light. You can see how even God depicted it. You know, he made the greater light to be for, I mean, let's read it from Genesis 1:14. You know, to about 16 or 17. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be for lights, the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. So already we see that the powers of darkness, which are in the night, they are lesser than the powers of light. God already depicted that here. But sometimes, because we don't know who we are, we don't know whose we are, we don't know what power we have. We don't know the authority we have in Christ. Then the devil, you know, has a field day. You know, but it's time to turn those things around. You know, we are not of the night, the Bible says. We are of the day. You know, if we are not of the night, then the powers of darkness that rule over the night cannot rule over us. Because we are not of the night. You know, but we are of the day. Even the things, you know, that we should know about, end time events and different things, Jesus warned us about these things. We should know these things because we are not of the night that these things should take us by surprise, the Bible says. But we are of the day. And if we are of the day, Jesus said, the scripture says, those that are drunken in the night. Those that do evil, they do these things in the night. But ye are not of the night. Ye are of the day. Ha! Praise the Lord. So, these scriptures, when we put them together, you know, we're told that we are children of light and not children of darkness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You know, let's read a few verses there. Because in this, well, what might turn out to be a mini series, because I can't finish it today, we will consider darkness and light. And we'll see how the Lord will lead us. He says, ye are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4. Ye are all children of light. That's verse 5. And you are children of the day and not of the night, nor of darkness. I mean, so right there, the scripture tells us we're children of the day. We're not children of the night. We're not children of darkness. So the power of darkness that rules over darkness cannot rule over us. But we belong to the day. You know, there are two kingdoms here. There's a kingdom of darkness. There's a kingdom of light. And we were at one time darkness, but now we are light. Not just that we are in the light, but we are actually now become light. Because God has taken us away from, the kingdom of darkness and now put us in the kingdom of light. In the past, we were darkness, you know, but now we are light in the Lord. And he told us to walk as children of light. We'll find that in Ephesians chapter 5. Let's read from verse 8. Now, all of this is to prepare us, to let us know that we actually have power to pull down strongholds and to cast down these imaginations of the devil. We'll be talking about them more. But you need to know that you have the power. That's why we are reading this. You know, it says, for ye were sometimes darkness, Ephesians 5 and 8, but now ye are light. Not just that you are in the light, but you are light yourself. Jesus said it himself. Ye are the light of the world. You know, so walk as children of light. But the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. You know, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, or rather cast them down, and rather pull them down. Praise the Lord. So there is some pulling down, some casting down, and things that we must do. The book of Jeremiah chapter 1, the Lord tells Jeremiah in verse 10 how he must fight this warfare. There are steps in proper spiritual warfare. And that's what we are actually going into, to describe how these things work. Spiritual warfare, you know, to cast down your strongholds. And pull down, you know, pull down strongholds, cast down imaginations, and so forth. Here is the pattern that God told Jeremiah. See, he said, Jeremiah 1 and 10, I have set thee this day over the nations and over the kingdoms. And what should you do? Well, let's look at it. There's about six different things he tells him here. To root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down all the so-called loftiness of the devil and the powers of darkness that sit pretty and think they've got everything. Jesus said, well, you go in there, you bind him, and you spoil his goods. You know, so, but, and then you got to build and to plant. But you see the way that God put this out here. You can't be building and planting until you tear down everything that is wrong. You know, so, you know, if you build, you know, assuming, you know, you purchase a land that's full of weed and overgrown with grass and trees and, I mean, just wild things and so forth. And you want to build an orchard or plant something there. You can't just start planting. Suppose you got to deal with all that rubbish that you don't need. You got to clear, bulldoze the thing, clear all that stuff away. You know, then you've got to till the ground and so on and so forth before you can even get to planting. So God tells Jeremiah here, you got to root out some things, not just cut them off at the head. And it's like when you're cutting grass, if you just cut the head, it's going to grow again. So you got to get down to the root and root it out. We'll be talking about that. You got to pull down certain things and you got to destroy some other things, you know, and you got to throw down certain imaginations. And we also debunk some things, you know. You can't put new wine in old bottles. So you got to break those old bottles, get new wine, fill them with the new stuff. After you've destroyed the negative stuff, then you can properly plant, I mean, you can properly build and plant. So this series is actually more like spiritual warfare. And before we are done, I may actually rename the series because it's really spiritual warfare. And how do we properly conduct it? Praise the Lord. So, but we're starting out by thinking straight. You know, you got to think straight. Thinking straight means knowing who you are. That's the first thing. You know, we can't think of ourselves any less than what God said. Because if you do, then you come from a point of disadvantage when you go into the fight. You know, so, you know, even in natural things, you know, you two fighters go in the ring. We saw some of those great fighters in those days. They're always trying to psych out their opponent, get under their skin, try to intimidate them and stuff like that. And there were some fighters that were known to be, you know, very intimidating, and the people that go into the ring with them, they are defeated right away until somebody that is not intimidated stands up to them. You know, so if you go in against the devil and the powers of darkness and you're intimidated because you think you're at a disadvantage, then you're already lost. You got to come in from a position of strength, and we're going to be describing that position of strength. You know, so that's what this series or lesson is going to be about. For us to know our stand in the Lord and for us to know how to war a good warfare, you know, and those are the things that we want to know how to do, you know, that thou mayest know, how to war a good warfare. How do you war a good warfare? And I mean, you know, see, if you don't know what you are doing, you know, I mean, first you got to know your enemy, and you got to know their tactics. Even the military, you know, they have intelligence to try to study the enemy, know their tactics and different things like that. You know, and then you gotta know, you gotta develop your own strategy to overcome, you know, those, when you know the enemy, then you gotta develop your own strategy of how you're going to, overcome those plans of the enemy and so forth. But if you don't know your enemy, you're not likely to be able to win that fight. You know, even in sports, you know, some of the teams, they watch tapes of the other team and so forth to try to know their plays, you know, study their playbook. If you can get a hold of their playbook, which is illegal, then you can know what they are doing. But since you can't get a hold of that, you start to study their moves and prepare yourself to counter moves. You know, so these are the things that we're going to be talking about in this series. Now, be assured that Jesus has already gotten the victory. Jesus said in John 16 and 33 that, you know, you're going to have all kinds of trouble, but be of good cheer, he said. I have overcome the world for you. So he's already overcome. And we go in the strength of that knowledge. Listen to how Paul charged Timothy, who was his son in the faith. Let's read first Timothy chapter 1. Read it from verse 18 or so. Paul wrote many things to Timothy to strengthen him, to encourage him, and to give him charge. And many stuff he told him, like be a strong soldier for Christ, endure hardness, and so forth. You know, and, you know, here he's telling him that this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. This is 1 Timothy 1 and 18. According to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them might war a good warfare. So there's a good warfare, and there may be an ineffective warfare. Good warfare here means an effective warfare. How do you do it? Well, you hold faith. You hold fast to faith. You make sure you have a good conscience. Some people, when they put these things away, they make shipwreck, he spoke about. You know, now, so you know that there you are in a warfare, and you need to be able to conduct an effective warfare. There are many tools that God has given us. In fact, it will take several lessons for us to cover the tactics of the devil, and also our own weapons and our tools. Now, there are some things that are like in your face kind of thing, and there are some things that are more subtle. The subtle things that the enemy tries to use against us. Well, we refer to them as little foxes that spoil the vine. There may be things that are so subtle, you know. It's not like you're going out there to commit murder, fornication, and adultery, and all these things. But there are, you know, there's more subtle things like unforgiveness. And the devil can use that. Bitterness. He can use that. And plant the seed of doubt, the seed of, you know, reasoning and logic and different things like that. You know, and he can plant that there. And those are tactics that he uses to weaken our defense systems and even weaken us. And if you don't understand these things, well, you fall prey. There's also pride. You know, pride is a destroyer. You know, we see that Lucifer was at one time called, you know, the cherub that covered it. And he was doing well. until the day that pride entered into him. So it was even before Adam. One day he said, well, my goodness, you know, I can be like the Most High. Why is he the only one? You know, so yeah, pride and spiritual pride is an absolute train, can cause an absolute train wreck in a life. It's a destroyer. And this spiritual pride comes in so many ways. And people don't even realize it sometimes. It can be pride, you know, proud, prideful, whatever you want to call it. Can look down on others and be arrogant and be snobbish, even in the spirit. You know, these things happen in natural realm. It happens also in spiritual realm, you know. In the kingdom, if people don't know how to behave. You know, Paul told Timothy, look, I need you to know how to behave in the house of God, because it's the pillar and ground of the truth. If people don't know how to behave, they can immediately become subject to these things. So we're going to be talking about the various tools that the devil is using, and the various tools that we ourselves must use, right? So, because Jesus has given us power, you know, but in this spiritual warfare that we are in, we have got to know how to do the warfare. Let's go back again to our lead-off scripture, where it talks about pulling down strongholds and casting down imaginations. Now, some strongholds can be sickness, you know, and the devil, when he pulls this, you know, we know that's not from the Lord. Let nobody, when they are sick, think that that's from the Lord. That's never from the Lord. An enemy has done this. The devil is the one that brings that on, because Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. You know, 1 John 3:8-9. And if Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, God cannot be putting those things on us. Now, so let's settle that in our hearts that, you know, we're not sick because the Lord put a sickness on us. God said, I would take sickness away from the midst of you. That's what God wants to do. But the enemy is the one that brings the sickness. Or, you know, sickness may come through some other ways. Maybe we were careless. Maybe we didn't follow health rules. Whatever, whatever. But it's never God that puts it on his people. Never does that. I put it on the wicked. He said, I put these things upon the Egyptians, but never on his people. He said, I will not put any of these sicknesses upon you that put upon the Egyptians. He will not do that. You know, these are evil diseases. Put them upon the wicked, but not upon us. But it can be a stronghold, you know, when we have the very serious illness in the family and create all kinds of problems. It's a stronghold. A stronghold that can, you know, attack your peace. Now, remember, Jesus paid for our peace along with our sicknesses. It wasn't just our sicknesses he paid for. In fact, if you read it again, in Isaiah chapter 53, you will see that he paid also for our peace. Paid for it. Here is how Isaiah 53 puts it. He said that, you know, all we, let me read it from verse 5. But he was wounded, or actually from verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried away our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was not for his own, himself. He was wounded for our transgressions. was bruised because of our iniquities. For our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. So all those things that they, every time they beat him, slapped him around, did all these things, was for your peace. Now those beatings left some scars on him. Those are called stripes. And that's the one we focus on all the time. By his stripes we are healed. We are healed. But before the stripes formed on his body, he was beaten. First he was beaten. And those things left scars. The beating of it on self, we're told, was for our peace. And the stripes were for our healing. So every time you think of by his stripes you are healed, also think that by his chastisement, all the beatings, so for your peace. So he paid for it. And the devil's role is to make sure we don't have that peace. Mm-hmm. So, now, in this fight that we are in, it's a fight to the finish. It's last man standing, so to speak. Well, but technically, we've already won the fight. However, you know, the devil is always going to put up a fight. In fact, even when you cast him out, Jesus said, he'll go for a while, but then he'll come back and try to see if he can get back in there. And then, you know, the Lord said, well, you know, if he comes back there and find that your defenses are down, you know, you let down your guard, then he'll go and get some even more wicked ones and get back in there. So we must not at any time let our defenses down. You know, Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 8 tells us a key principle, which is very important. If you dig a pit, you'll fall into it. Better be careful. If you break a hedge, a serpent will bite. Now, what is a serpent that's waiting to bite? Well, it's like this viper, right? It's coiled up like this. You know, it's just coiled up like that. It's a viper. And he's waiting to strike. But sometimes he strikes and he hits a brick wall. You know, and then he's looking around, strikes again, hits a brick wall. Now, he doesn't know. He can't see it because the wall is like almost transparent, but it's a force field. It's a shield of faith that's around you. You know, and it comes from the glory of God that's within you and inside of you, built up by your, you know, most holy faith. You build up that. You have that shield of faith around you. Devil tries to throw those arrows. The Bible says you quench them with the shield of faith. It's already always there. Even when you are sleeping, it's there. It's working for you all the time. You know, but he'll be looking and maybe he will say, well, maybe I'll get lucky. Maybe I'll find a an opening, a crack in that hedge, and then I can strike through that. Well, that's how the devil does. That's how he does. You'll be looking. So we want to make sure there is no broken edges. There's no cracks in our defense systems. You know, we must have a strong defense system and we must also go on the offensive. We're going to be talking about both, you know, and there are things as how to build up a good defense system and how to war a good warfare. Now, good warfare is not just about defending yourself. If you let your enemy be barraging you all the time, one day they are going to break down that gate. Yeah, because, you know, no matter how strong you're fortified, if they barrage it long enough, if you don't have counter attacks, then eventually they're going to get through. So warfare has both defense and offense. And we'll be looking at Ephesians 6 to see the things that we can put on for defense. We'll see also what we can take on for offense. The ultimate goal, though, is that we must be able to pull down strongholds and cast down imaginations of the devil. You know, how are you talking more about the strongholds? I wanted to keep this lesson short today. Because I'm only here for a little bit today. But I want to let you know that there are many strongholds and there are many imaginations of the devil. One of the imaginations of the devil is, he looks, at us because he sees that we have something that he lost. And he's looking for a way to get us to lose what we have, like he did. Imagine it in his head. You know how the Lord imagined good things? The Lord imagined good things and he called them forth. Well, the devil also imagines evil things against God's people. And how do we fight those things? How do we pull down strongholds like sicknesses and diseases and stuff? And sometimes, today we're hearing of more and more sickness. We're hearing of more and more people being attacked, and the sickness might start from a little thing until it becomes a stronghold. And then you just can't get rid of it. There's other sinful behaviors that can become strongholds in the lives of people. They start out with a little of this, a little of that. The Bible says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. If you don't keep your eyes pure, you look at the wrong things a little ways and so forth, the next time it becomes a stronghold. That's how people get to the stronghold of pornography, for instance. People get into the stronghold of many things, even alcoholism. I start with a little thing. Say, a little wine doesn't do any harm and everything like that. And a little this, a little that, eventually it becomes a stronghold. And these are many strongholds. A little grieving, a little bitterness in your heart. After a while, it sets in, it becomes a gall of bitterness. And it troubles your soul even more than the other person. These things are strongholds that we must deal with. And then there is the stronghold of envy. All these things that the Bible talks about, the works of the flesh, they can start out with a little thing, a little stretching of your neck where you don't need to stretch to look at somebody. Later on, it becomes a stronghold. People are always, envy gets in there and it leads to covetousness sometimes. And these things can become strongholds. And these strongholds, we got to pull them down. We've got to cast our imaginations. Imaginations can also rise in our own hearts. When we allow our hearts to imagine vain things. That's why the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, get control of your thoughts. Don't let your thoughts wander into vain things and you start imagining things, and it gives us a prescription on how to deal with that. And this is how he puts it. He says, finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, channel your thoughts on those things. Direct your thoughts and your hearts into the patient waiting for Christ and into the love of God. Direct your thoughts into these good things. Don't let vain thoughts come into your mind. Well, the thoughts might come, but don't let them settle in. As we often say that Birds may fly over your head, but don't let them land on your head. The thoughts may come, but don't let them settle in. Vain thoughts may even come. Don't voice them out. When the enemy will try to get a hold of you, trick you off by you saying a negative word in your mouth, because he knows that the power of the tongue, there's life and death in it. He knows also that the Lord said, and the devil knows the scriptures. He knows the Lord said that, you know, as you've said in my ears, so will I do. So he wants to get you to say that negative thing. You know, so don't say it, even though it comes, you know, don't say it. You say, I can do all things. Don't say, I can't do that. And you say, I can't do that, then you can't do it. Now, these people say, well, we can't go up against those people. They're giants and we are grasshoppers. And the Lord said, well, then you can't do it then. So the devil wants us to behave like that. Well, I'm going to leave today's lesson like that because I got to go. The room will continue. Don't leave yet. I'll just be on, you know, in listening mode. So I'm not leaving the room, but I'll be in listening mode. But we're going to continue this lesson. This is, think of this as an introduction. And we'll come back by the grace of God. There are many strongholds we need to pull down. There are many imaginations we need to cast down. And we're going to see the proper weapons, the proper way to do these things, and the proper mindset as well. And I believe the Lord is going to help us. I'm going to pray over the room and leave it there for now. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the short exhortation. I pray that you interpret it in the hearts of the people. And we pray that as we review and talk about these things, our moderator and our speakers, the words of grace and the words of God, words of wisdom will be in their mouth. It will be a blessing to everybody. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.